It's good to be with you this morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Scott, and I pastor the church here, and just want to say welcome if you're visiting with us this morning. And this morning, I want to walk us through our final part of our vision statement that we're proposing to you as a church. And we wanted to kind of teach through it so you have an idea of where this is coming from and why I feel it is important. So I think if I do this right, all right. What's that? It'll work? Okay. Here we go. Something's working. Hey, so if there's any mistakes, so last week I said, hey, I'm going to show you the vision statement, and I pressed a button, it didn't happen. That was me. So all mistakes that are up here are mine. Just so you all know. And so here we go. This is the vision statement that we're proposing. That our vision statement is transforming our lives, our community, and the world by living daily with Jesus, being with him, and doing as he did. And this idea of being transformed, you and I, God's desire for us is to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. To be transformed into that person that God created you to be and to live that out. And if we do that, if we live these transformed lives, then we shine the light of Christ. We are the salt and light to the earth. And those in our community, those in which we work with, those that we are connected with, they see Jesus Christ. And then we begin to see our community changed and ultimately our world transformed. But it begins with us. So the part that we've been exploring is, how does it begin with us? How are we transformed? And so we've been walking through this by this part of being with Jesus, daily being with Jesus. It's so easy in our lives to see and live this life in categories. Here I am today, I'm in church, so of course, yes, I'm with Jesus. But when you walk out these doors, it should not change. Jesus is with you. As it's been said, the awareness of Jesus, or the presence of Jesus, is not the issue. It's our awareness of his presence that becomes the issue. So how do we understand the awareness of who he is in our lives? It's by daily being with him, intentionally connecting with him, spending time with him, and doing it throughout our day. And as we do that, we become like him. If you spend any time with anybody for any significant amount of time, you become like them. Raina and I are becoming like each other. She's not here today, and she is. She's teaching the kids. But here's the thing. We're not really becoming like each other, but we are becoming like each other because we are taking on each other's kind of personality, or not personality, but the way we talk and the way we say things and expressions. It just happens. The longer you spend with somebody, the more you kind of become like them. Hopefully I'll become more beautiful. She won't become like me. You know what I'm saying? And so when we spend that time with him, with Jesus, we get to know who he is. And when we get to know who he is, that has an effect on our lives. And we become like him. And so we begin to do what Jesus did. And that's what I want to explore today. What does it look like to do what Jesus did? So to start off with, I'm going to start with a story. And I said to Raina, I said, have I told this story before? And she says, oh, you might have. She says, just use Tim Keller's line. You know, if I told this story before, it's such a good one, it's worth hearing again. So here we go. And hopefully it will make sense, this story, as I share the message. So in 2015, I got a phone call from a friend of mine. I know exactly where I was. I was in my backyard, and it was springtime, and I was doing some garden stuff with Raina, and Jack phoned me, and Jack says, "Hey, Scott, this is Jack. I want to invite you on an adventure." And I knew exactly what he was talking about because he invited me on this adventure last year and I said no. And so he says, "Hey, I'm going to Saskatchewan." Hey, Saskatchewan? Come on, yeah. Ooh. All right, I'm going to Saskatchewan. I'm doing a canoe trip. Would you like to come with me? Well, I wanted to go with him last year, and I said, "Well, you know, Jack, you know I want to come, but I'll talk it over with Raina, and I'll get back to you." So I hung up the phone, and I said to Raina, "I said, hey, Jack's inviting me on this canoe trip again, and I kind of paused. She goes, "You should go." That's what I wanted to hear. Yes. So I phoned Jack back, and I said, "Yes, I'm in, and I want to do this canoe trip." And so this canoe trip was we drove to Saskatchewan. We drove up into way up on top there, where actually there's trees. and we got up there, and we got to this lodge, and then we loaded into this plane, and we flew 45 minutes into the bush, and they dropped us off, and off come our canoes, and all of our equipment comes out, and then we stand there, and we watch that plane taxi off, and away it's gone. And we're standing there, and I'm kind of going, "Whoa, okay, this is real." And then we began to load up everything into the canoes, and our adventure begins. Well, as that plane was gone, before long, we were in this silence. It's kind of the first time that I'd been in this situation where I felt I was so far away from civilization, and the only way back was in a canoe. And so, out of the six paddlers that were there and the three canoes, I was the least experienced. My canoeing experience was camp, going to Bible camp and learning how to canoe. And, well, that teaches you to get across the lake, but it doesn't really do good around rapids. There's a lot more to know about canoeing than just paddling across the lake. And so here I was, the least experienced out of everybody, and I was given Mike as my canoe buddy. Mike had quite a bit of experience, and I knew Mike because he was part of our church family. However, because of my inexperience, Mike took the role of the stern of the canoe, and I was in the bow. That meant that Mike was in control of the direction that we would go in the canoe, and I was going to get us there by paddling. He was going to paddle as well. So, here are a few things that I want to point out for me in order to enjoy this adventure, all right? So in order for me to enjoy this adventure, here are a few things. First is I needed to say yes. Even though I did not know what I was saying yes to, and believe me, I did not know until I started going down the river, I first had to say yes. Then I had to invest. The agreeing to go was free. But the trip cost me. I had to pay for this trip to go on it. And then I actually needed to go there. I couldn't enjoy the trip from my living room. I could sit there in my living room and I go, "Wow, that was a great trip." But I actually wasn't going to enjoy the trip unless I was going to go there. The fourth is I needed to get into the canoe. So I could have been out there and dropped off by that plane and I could have said, "Yeah, this is going to be a great adventure, but..." Mike said to me, "Get into the canoe," and I had to get into that canoe. Standing on shore wasn't going to take me down that river. And last is, I actually needed to paddle. Mike was not going to do all the work. He didn't invite me to get in the canoe just so he could paddle me down the river. I had to participate in it. So, where I want to go today is this. Is that I want to look at the will of God. Because doing what Jesus did was doing the will of God. He was willing to say yes to Jesus, to God. He was willing to get into the canoe, step into this world, into this life, and do the will of the Father. You know, I think about what it means for us to follow Jesus, and many of us say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. But it becomes harder to follow Jesus sometimes when he asks us to do hard things. So I first had to say yes to the invitation. And I want us to know that what God invites us to is to journey with him on an incredible journey. It's an invitation. He says, come follow me. That's what he says. Come follow me. And that come following him is an adventure. And sometimes that adventure is very difficult and hard. And some of you sitting here today, you know full well about that. It has not been easy. And then sometimes the adventure is full of life and wonder and awe. I remember paddling in this canoe, and we come around a corner, and here was this moose, this big old bull moose, standing in the middle of the river. And it was we just kind of pulled off to the side and watched this moose stand there. And that water was just brushing his belly. And then he got out of that water, and you saw how big that moose was. He was huge, and it was in awe. And then there were times that we had to portage around these rapids, and it was difficult, and it was hard. So, how do you and I know the will of God? I think first that we need to look at is that we need to stop inviting God to be part of our life. Does that make any sense? No. Good. Yeah, I'll say it again. We need to stop inviting God to be part of our life. I mean, that is what I kind of grew up thinking in my head. Yeah, I invite Jesus into my life. But really, the invitation is that for us, he's invited us to be part of his life. And when I stop looking at him being part of my life, what I'm saying is that, God, I want you to be in control. Jesus came here to earth, and he didn't say, okay, God, this is what I'm doing. I want you to be part of it. He came here saying, I'm here to do the will of the Father, whatever that looks like. And so I look, and he says, come follow me. And I say, Lord, I want to be part of what you are doing. What are you up to? I want to be part of it. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But oftentimes we pray this way. Oh, Lord, please make it so I get the job. Or we pray, Lord, please put it on his or her heart to ask me out. Or, Lord, help me to pass this test. Or, God, change my son's behavior. Or, Lord, change that person's attitude at work. And I've prayed these prayers, and I oftentimes find myself praying these prayers. And you're going, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? What if we began to pray this way? Lord, I felt your leading to put my name in for this job, but what I'm really looking for is your will to be done. Guide me, and guide those that are looking at the resumes. Lord, I really like this person. I would really like to go out on the date with them. But Lord, you're in charge. You're in charge. Help me not to manipulate the situation. Because I just want to do your will in every relationship that I have. Or I may pray, you know, Lord, this person at work, they've got a terrible attitude and it's really hard. But God, what are you showing me in this? What are you doing in this? Why is this person in my life? Lord, I'm just looking for your will to be done. Do you see the slight difference that is there? And I look there and I say, what Jesus did was, is that Jesus needed to say yes. We need to say yes to his invitation. But Jesus, he was not in control. He was doing the will of the Father. He said, God, whatever your will is, I'm here to do the will of the Father, not my will. So let's look at this. John 6:38. This is what Jesus says. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Those are Jesus' direct words. I didn't come here to do my will. I came here to do the will of the Father. Jesus begins with the right posture. He begins as this posture of, God, you are in control. I struggle with this. Honestly, I do. I'm finding myself often trying to take control. God, will you do this? God, will you make this happen? And instead of saying, God, what do you want to have happen? What are you doing here? Because I believe you are in control. Why are we on this earth? In your mind, occupied with accomplishing God's will, or is your mind occupied with meeting your desires and your wishes and your happiness? Let's look at this verse here. John 5:17. Jesus said this. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am at work. You see, he recognized that God does not slumber or sleep. God is always up to something. I've said that before, and it is a motto which I try to live under in my own life. God is always up to something, and it's my job to understand what it is, what he's doing, so that I can be part of it. And this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that God, I know you're doing something. And I, too, am at work. I, too, am doing what my Father is doing. Dallas Willard says it this way. God is always up to something. It is our job to understand what it is, what he is doing, and to be part of it. That's what Jesus is saying. And so I look for my first response is to say to God, what are you doing in my day? What are you up to? And when I do this, I recognize that I am not in charge of my day or my world. And when I practice seeking God daily, it makes knowing his will in more significant situations much easier. So daily when I come and I say, God, what are you doing? Because I want to do what you are doing. Then some of my bigger decisions, it makes it easier. Bryce read part of these words here. And Jesus says this. He says, I give you this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so I want this. I want to do this in my life. I hunger for this. I look at this and I say, yes, this is what I want to be able to say. I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. Is it possible? Is it possible? And I think it is. I think it is when I look and I start by the point that being able to do only what I see the Father doing, I come and I say, God, I want to do your will. 10 more chapters down the road, Jesus says this. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I must find myself in a place where I am looking that he is in control. I like this. Tyler Staton says this. He says, I am deeply confronted in remembering that I am a prop. I'm popped into a story where I am not playing the lead. I am an extra in the background of a single scene in a narrative that is grander and more complex and more redemptive than I could fathom. This is a story about God. He is the lead at the center of every scene. I am the Lord's servant. And that, as it turns out, is more than enough for me. Isn't that grand? Isn't that beautiful? That's what Jesus saw. That's what Jesus understood, that even though he was God and he came here as man, he came under, submitted himself to God the Father. You and I, we're just popped into this scene, and it's such grander than us, it's much greater than us. You know, surviving this canoe trip down the Foster River only happened because I submitted myself to Mike. Honestly, I was not skilled enough to do what we did. And there were times that we came upon some rapids, and all the other canoe, the other two canoes, we all got there, we looked at these rapids, and you kind of suss it out which direction you're going to go and how you're going to do it. And I'm getting all excited as we talk about how we're going to do these rapids. And then Mike turned to me and he says, "Scott, we're not doing these rapids." And I said, "Well, Mike, I think we can." He goes, No, you can't, Scott. Whoa. It's like, I didn't like that. Now, there were some rapids none of us did, and we portaged, and I knew what was going to happen. We were now going to have to portage these rapids while everybody else shot the rapids. And I knew how much work that was going to be. And I remember one time I said, "Mike, I think we can do it. They don't look that bad." He goes, "I don't know, Scott." I said, "No, Mike, I think we can do it. We should do it. Come on." And I could see he was just about ready to turn. He goes, "Nope, we're portaging." I was probably pretty grumpy on that portage. I mean, because, you know, you got your packs and your... And then you got in a canoe and you can't hardly see because you're trying to carry this canoe. There was character building in my life as we carried the canoe, and I'm thinking, okay, this is best. This is best. Mike actually later on told me, he says, "I was actually fearful for my life because I didn't think you could do it, and I didn't want to lose my life." But the only way it was going to work with us is for me to allow Mike to be in control. And to get us home safely. And to get us down those rapids safely. And life is crazy. And life is difficult. And for us to navigate through this life, it comes to this place. To do what Jesus does is to put ourselves under his authority. And to live that way. So, I want to encourage us, but I want you to ask yourself, in this quote here, where do you see yourself? Honestly, do you see yourself as the lead, or do you see yourself as an extra? Because it really determines how we will respond to God. I think about the words that Jesus says, "I only do the will of the Father." And I think if it was good enough for Jesus, then it must be good enough for me. It must be good enough for you. If it's good enough for Jesus that he says, "I'm here to do only the will of the Father," then it must be good enough for me. So how do we do that? How do we get there? Can you advance my slide to the practice? So here's where I want to take us to kind of beach our canoe, okay? Is in the practice. Every day, I think there are three things that I'm looking to practice every day. The first is this, is the belief in the goodness of God. We sang about that today. But it's the belief in the goodness of God. Do you believe that God, what he has for you, what he desires for you is his goodness? Do you believe that? Because if I do, then I can trust him that his intentions towards me are deeply good. Deeply good. Do you believe that God's intention towards you is good? And when it is hard and it is difficult and it is dark, that is the point in which I will struggle to make this commitment to believe that God's intentions towards me are good, even in the dark time. Secondly, do I believe that the love is the primary calling in my life? That love is a primary calling in my life. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is our primary calling. God's love for us is his primary calling. And when I live under that, and I believe that, I can practice that God is in control and I can do his will. And then I can love as Jesus loves. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be a doormat, but it means that I respond in love. It means that I can act in his love in those situations. Love is my primary calling. And then last is that to have a belief that the Holy Spirit will speak to me today. I have people come to me and they will say to me, well, what should I do here or what should I do there? And we can talk about that and counseling is good. But to know the Holy Spirit speaking to us, knowing that God wants to communicate to us, does something for us in knowing the will of God. There's nothing better than knowing that God is speaking to you. Do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? Then I can carry out his primary call of love. So these are three things. For me to live out his will daily, it comes in these areas. Belief in the goodness of God. Believe that love is our primary calling. And to have the belief the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us through his word, through other people, through life. I've got some other things there. I've got a sheet in the back again that talks about these day-to-day practices as well as going deeper and making big decisions. How do we make big decisions? But if we want to do what Jesus does, we will do it by doing the will of the Father. And we do the will of the Father when he is in control and not me. Lord Jesus, today, I thank you. I thank you that we have a model of loving you, a model of doing your will, a model that comes from Jesus. Lord, I pray for us as a church that in community, Lord, that we would have a heart that allows you to be in control. Lord, that we would walk with the belief that your intentions towards us are good. And your love for us is incomprehensible. And that God, you call us to love others. And that we would hear your Spirit speak to us. Lord, help us to wake up each morning and seeking to recognize that you have invited us to be part of your day. And that we would walk in your goodness in this day. Lord, I pray for those as well that are struggling. God, that they would know that you have not abandoned them. That you are with them, and that you are revealing yourself to them this day. In Jesus' name, amen.